Blog Talk Radio.
You'll be listening to Box Set here on GoldBoxMedia.com with your host.
If the laws of physics no longer apply in the future, God help you.
The oh-so-sexy cat.
Oh, my breath, they're really strong.
And the almighty bad.
It's simple. Just take the hydraulic phase shift emulator and attach it to the transdimensional proton particle emitter. Kaboom! New talent.
Hey, howdy ho, everybody. Welcome to Box Heads here on GoldBoxMedia.com, also heard on BlogTalkRadio.com. I am your lovely, fuzzable host, Baz. And joining me, as always, in the e-virtual studios is Kat and Shriggs. Kat and Shriggs, how's it going, Kat?
Doing good.
Awesome, awesome. Shriggs, how about yourself?
Doing fine.
Excellent, excellent. And this week's show is going to be listener-driven, guys. So you guys are in control of the airwaves this week. Please call us in with any topics, questions, or comics. You might comments, not comics, because you can't really explain those very well over the radio, which is, anyway. Please call in at 347-838-9713. Love to take your questions and whatnot about gaming, gadgets, modern technology, and everything cool and nerdy. If you wish to get in touch with us on Facebook, just go to facebook.com/codeboxmedia. Go ahead on over to our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/codeboxmedia. We keep it simple. We keep it safe. If you guys can tell me what that quote's from, you guys get a e-hug. Any of you guys know what keep it safe is from? No?
Is it a porn site?
No!
Is it Half-Life?
No, it's from Lord of the Rings when Gandalf tells Frodo, keep it secret, keep it safe, for Bilbo's ring. Well, when Gandalf has, never mind. I'm revealing that, well, I know way too much about Lord of the Rings.
That is a terrible quote because it could be applied to any mythical quest.
Yeah, you know,
yes.
My train of thought.
Oh, well, shut up, okay? Anyway. Guys, if you wish to follow us on Twitter, it's just at CodeBoxMedia as well. So, yeah, guys, it's going to be a fun show. Lots to get to, lots to talk about, and we have an upcoming rant by yours truly about just something that just took me forever to figure out, and I finally just gave up and was like, you know what? It's not worth it. Bye. So, yeah, we're going to get to that. Have a lot of really, really cool topics to get to. We got some news. We got some modern cars talk. I know we're actually going down to the normal people stairs and talking about cars this week, which is, like, a big deal. And we're also going to be covering some gadgets of the week. We found some cool gadgets for you. We got a special commercial for you we're going to play. And we have some other special announcements. So stick around, and you will hear those throughout the show. And let's get started. Kat, how was your week?
Actually, it was really good. I spent a lot of time on my Mass Effect trilogy, so today was actually such a great day. I was able to get out.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was 87 degrees today, so it was just absolutely beautiful. So I went and hung out with my husband and my kids over at Buffalo Wild Wings, and you know, had some hot wings and trivia and cold lemonade, and then we went and we ran the track. Yes, I actually got out and I ran. Well, I didn't really run. Okay, I did a brisk walk. But that's saying a lot, you know, because I'm so into Mass Effect. So it was like my first time getting out into the world and being like, wow, there's sunlight.
These graphics are awesome. What's the resolution on this? So guys, to clarify for everyone who's kind of scratching their heads and going, wait, she went out? By this, she means she took her laptop, she strapped it to her chest, and then she hung out with her family while she was playing Mass Effect. So.
Isn't that what we all do?
Yeah, I mean, I do that all the time. I mean, come on.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, now, you said you had hot wings. You're going to have to clarify, because Buffalo Wild Wings, for those of you who don't know, it's kind of a U.S. thing, and certain states don't have it, which is really saddening when I go to certain states. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's no Buffalo Wild Wings here at all. And I'm like, why? That's, like, the best restaurant ever. It is a sports bar, basically, that serves amazing food. They have wonderful boneless and with bone wings. Their flavors include everything from frickin' Asian Zing. Yes, that's actually a flavor. It's not a crack on cat, everybody. So just,
yeah, he's right. Yep.
Which, by the way, the Asian Zing is actually one of my favorites, next to their new flavor, which I'm not sure if it's still there, which is the jalapeno something or other. I don't remember what exactly it's called, but it has like it's like a really bold, really hot, spicy flavor. It's really good, but I usually pair that with the honey barbecue because they have really, really good honey barbecue. But
honey barbecue is amazing.
Yes. So when you say hot wings, do you mean you kind of pussed out, or did you actually have hot wings?
You know, it's funny because I am not a – I don't mind spicy foods or anything like that, but I can't – I'm not like one of those jalapeno type – and then what do you call it, curry type eaters. But my husband actually got me eating this, like, this is going to sound really nasty or really pornographic, if you want to put it that way. But he got me eating this dry rub type stuff.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I've been really lenient to try it. How is that?
It's so good. If you guys have never tried it, you really have to try it. And I know some of you are probably looking for your keys right now while we're talking about this.
Now,
jeez.
Okay. anyway, dry rub, guys. For those of you who are wondering, the way that they do their wings is they actually dip them in like actual like sauce, where it's like a liquid, kind of like a jelly sauce. It's just and they just kind of cover the entire wing, and it's really great. But the dry rub stuff is basically like powder. And Kat, since you've had them, better explain it. Like, that's the only thing I can really – I've never actually seen them either.
Right. So. No, you hit the nail on the head with that. It's basically a dry type powder rub instead of the liquidy, you know, oily stuff that you get, and it gets all over. I mean, it's really, it kind of sticks to the wings, so they're really, really good. And I would recommend anybody whoever goes to Buffalo Wild Wings at least try them, because it's just amazing. It really is.
So their wings are still pretty moist, even though it's a dry sauce.
Yeah, it is. But it's
cool.
Not. I would have to say it's not as slippery. I mean, they don't slide off of my hand.
Okay.
So we did that, and we had a really good time, you know. I mean, that's,
awesome.
I love doing those things, like going to the sports bars and stuff.
Yeah, it's one of those old American traditions that it's fun. I mean, you know, back in the day, they were just considered bars, but now there's bars, sports bars, strip bars, other bars, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So Buffalo Wild Wings is definitely a family place. It's a little loud in certain locations. I know there's a couple ones here in Ohio that are just ridiculously loud, and I don't go to those ones. There's one here in Perrysburg, which is really close to where I live, and then the one in Bowling Green, which is really, really quiet, which is really, really nice, which is weird because it's a college town, and you think that would be, like, ridiculously loud. But it's always quiet.
Yeah, that is odd.
But, I mean, it kind of varies on the location. So, anyway, enough about wings, because I'm already getting hungry again. Thank you. I appreciate that. Shrig, sir, how's your week been?
It's been pretty good. Most of my week has been plagued with seasonal allergies.
Yeah.
Where I basically wake up and my throat and nose are swollen, and I can't talk for a few hours. It's like,
Well, did you go to bed with the night before?
Yeah, I figured that was coming. I was like, I'm just, you know I'd say it, but I'll let Pat take the fall on that one. Yeah.
But no, that's about my loss of any voice. Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, the big thing I did this week was got my two roommates, and we went to a local video rental store, and they had a game section, and we rented three games, Mortal Kombat, Darksiders, and Nier.
Nier? Oh.
Can we say that again?
Yeah. Nier.
There you go.
Wow. You for that.
And what did you guys do when you got the games? You just, like, got them and put them on your shelf, or did you play them?
Yeah, got them. We put in Mortal Kombat and played that all night. I had fun with the fatalities and those extra moves they added, and it was freaking amazing and fun.
Nice. Now, did you guys go hardcore enough? One of you guys have that stupid little fight pad stick thing?
No, we rented all these games.
Oh, well, you never know. You never know if you guys want the full Street Fighter experience there. Whatever. And, you know, me and Strix were having this conversation off air here, and he was like, "Yeah, I had such a good time." I'm like, "Yeah, you had a good time button mashing." And he's like, trying to list all these games that include button mashing. He's like, "Well, hack and slash RPGs and first person shooters are about button mashing too." I'm like, "You know, yeah, it is, but there's a huge difference in okay. So to defeat your opponent, mash A, B, up, down, right, forward, slash, right." Repeatedly and see who wins first. That's what I qualify by button mashing.
There's also blocking, which if you can do right, you render repeating the bull crap.
No. I completely understand that there is some quote unquote strategy to a Street Fighter game, but okay. I just can't take it seriously because it's,
there are people who take Call of Duty seriously.
Well, I mean, yeah, and that's my point. You know, you have these professional gamers that think they're all cool, and they're like, "I'm really good at Call of Duty." Okay, congratulations. You play an unbalanced game that's been out for the past 5.5 years and hasn't been upgraded. Mm-hmm. Good job. But I don't know. It's a fun game, but it's one of those games that I don't take seriously. I just have fun with. One of my buddies is always taking it seriously. He always gets really upset when I beat him. I'm like, "Dude, it's just for fun." He goes, "No, you're not playing it right. You're just mashing the buttons." And I'm like, "Yeah, so are you." But he's like, "No, I'm doing combos." And I'm like, "Yeah, I am too. It's called A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A-A. That's a combo."
No, the best one is and I played Street Fighter 4, and Bison, he has this down kick where he flies across the screen.
Right.
If you time it right, you can always get someone into a perpetual fall over and hit the ground.
Oh, yeah.
You can never get out of it.
Yeah,
how I beat that.
Well, the only Street Fighter quote-unquote game that I really enjoy is Soul Calibur. And my favorite rendition of Soul Calibur is, I believe it's Soul Calibur, gosh, I want to say 2, or maybe just the first one for the GameCube. That one was really fun because I believe it was Raphael with his little rapier move that he did like this weird like thrust and you just do it over and over and over. And I figured that out. And my buddy's like, "Oh, I'm really good at Soul Calibur." You know, I'm like, "Okay, cool. Can I be Raphael?" He's like, "Oh yeah, he sucks. I'll kick your butt." And,
I think the thing about fighting games is it isn't cheaper than other games, but the cheapness is more obvious.
Yeah. Okay. I will agree to that. But anyway, since Strix interrupted my story, I will finish. It took me like 4 or 5 rounds to finally do this to him, but I got him into the little cheap combo thing, and he got really mad and never played with me again. So I'm just like, yeah, it's Street Fighter games. I don't take seriously. They're just for fun for me. But you know, if you guys want to argue with me, that's fine. Call in. We like callers. So, yeah. Anyway, my week has been interesting. It's been one of those weeks where you get stuff done, but you feel like you didn't get anything done. And I hate those weeks because you're like, "Oh, okay, well, I just got all this done and did I really do anything?" And yeah, but that's okay. As far as game-wise going, I've been playing a lot of Dota 2, Battlefield, and Tribes. Battlefield is starting to make me upset because they have this new, you can buy everything and unlock everything for $40 now. And that's on all platforms. Hmm. And we'll go a little bit into this in the segments to come. But it's microtransactions, I think, are starting to get a little bit out of hand, especially in games that should never have them in the first place. So, but that's okay. Let's move on to the news and just kind of some interesting facts to go over this week. And now it's time for the news. Stop that. All right, Kat, fire away.
Well, basically, everybody knows that dealing with Best Buy, that's probably one of the most popular franchises to purchase your technology and games, but Best Buy will be closing 50 American big box stores in 2013, and they're going to cut 400 employees in corporate support areas after announcing the disappointing financial results. It was a $1.2 billion loss for the financial year with a $1.7 billion loss.
Wow.
And pretty much the American retailers' disappointing results saw particularly brutal falls in the entertainment division of everything. The entertainment division has pretty much fallen, and overall revenue grew 3% to $16.6 billion for the quarter, but that was not enough to keep the 50 other stores open. That's kind of a big downfall. I mean, what is that saying about our economy with technology? I mean, we had Circuit City that closed, right?
Well, I mean, Circuit City was overpriced to begin with, so I think that was their main issue. And Best Buy is a little bit overpriced too. I mean, they have good deals. They're kind of like Kohl's of the entertainment industry. For those of you who don't know, Kohl's are a really expensive clothing store. And when they have really, really good sales, they have really, really good sales. And Best Buy is kind of like that too.
It's
disappointing to hear, but I feel that it's because the media the gaming media and, you know, movie media just are not coming out with things that people want anymore. It's just a bunch of crap. I mean, when was the last good movie you remember that you actually saw? I think for me it was the last couple Batman movies where I was like, you know, I really enjoyed those movies. That was money well spent.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in this economy, it's getting so difficult. So I think the smaller companies that are online, and I think this holds true to a lot of the gaming and the internet generation these days, is everybody likes to put together their own, or they like to buy something that they're familiar with that has, you know, the serious gaming technology that they need. Like Best Buy, when I went there to look for my laptop, I'm pretty much open to everything, but they did not have anything that I want. Yeah, I mean, it's horrible. So those who are really into the technology and know the industry and know what they want for the gaming, they're not going to buy from these stores. They're going to go online and they're going to go to, you know, iBuyPower or CyberDirect or whatever they, you know, to buy their most updated parts and laptops. So I can see where that's going to fail as a brick and mortar company, because they're just not offering what the technology that is now. And that's just going to hurt a lot of companies.
Well, you know, I think it also has a lot to do with, I think companies really are not in tune with this type of generation. You know, a lot of companies are like, okay, well, people have always just wanted these products before, and I don't think that they're really trying to appeal to the younger generation, which is, you know, yours, mine, and Triggs' generation, that is really into this technology and this computer stuff and et cetera, et cetera. It's still just a lot of, okay, well, here's your basic laptop and blah, blah, blah. I mean, the people that are going to go out and shell money for this are the people that are really into it, not your grandpa and grandpa that are looking for a laptop.
Agreed.
I mean,
and did you...
Go ahead.
Have you walked into a Best Buy lately? I mean, last time I was in there, and I was actually...
I try not to.
I went in there, and everything is Xbox nowadays. They probably have half an aisle for PC video games. And then
I went into a Best Buy this morning.
Uh-huh.
And I looked at the PC games aisle. It's like one rack, not even completely full, with like Mass Effect, some Civ 5,
World of Warcraft.
You know, the big name.
Yeah.
World of Warcraft.
Yeah, I mean,
and like nothing else.
Yeah, you have all these games that are like 6 years old, and you're like, okay, World of Warcraft is, you know, no one if anyone's going to buy World of Warcraft, it's either going to be from GameStop or they're just going to buy the digital copy. I mean, like, no one's going to want to buy. He's like, let's go to Best Buy and pick up some copies of World of Warcraft. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's stupid stuff like that just kind of make me go, okay, you're not in touch with technology today. I mean, you know, sure, they have all these really cool big screen TVs and stuff, but it's like, okay, if if I'm going to go and purchase something, I mean, honestly, I'd rather just buy it off Newegg or something. Because
right.
I'll probably get it for maybe $50 cheaper. And sure, it costs shipping, but I don't have to deal with a pushy salesman either.
Right, and, exactly. And the salesmen that don't know what the hell you're even talking about to begin with. I mean,
you know,
most of them are just...
it's terrible. It's funny story, actually. I've actually tested Best Buy in this to see what their knowledge, quote-unquote, is. Oh, it's terrible. I have gone in asking, hey, I'm going to upgrade my video card. And this was a GTX 285 NVIDIA. This was, you know, it's... I currently have a 460, which is, you know, not a horrible card, but it's a little older generation. And I said, okay, I have a GTX 285. I'd like to upgrade it. Which video card do you think I should use? And I picked one that was, I believe it was the, gosh, what was it? It was one that was way before the GTX 285. And then I picked a ATI 685 Radeon, you know, like one of the top of the line cards, and I asked them, mm-hmm. which one do you think I should get? Because I'm like, well, because this one's a little bit more expensive, but this one's cheaper. And I kid you not, guys, they tried to sell me the one that was older than my other graphics card.
That is not surprising.
And
really?
I'm like, no. Okay, it gets better. I actually. Like, they were so convinced they were going to sell me this product that they took me over to the Geek Squad, which, might I add, the Geek Squad are a bunch of idiots and don't know crap. Don't ever trust them in anything that they were trying to sell you. They're retarded. They're just stupid. Like, they're stupid. They, like, he listed all these other video cards, which half of them, by the way, were old and not even compatible with my system. And I'm like, really? Okay, no. And they're like, okay, well, hang on. Let us get our computer expert out here to help you pick.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, okay. So maybe this guy knows something. No, he still picked a card that wasn't even good. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. I'm like, thanks. I'm just checking prices right now. I'll probably come and pick this up a little bit later. They're like, okay, thanks. Have a good day. And then, you know, them feeling really good about themselves. I'm just like, oh my gosh. No. Why? So, I mean,
And that's where it's coming down to, is that they're failing in certain areas that, you know, the ones that are actually interested in this technology and interested in getting the best possible hardware and software, they're not going to buy from them. I mean, it really is. And like you were specifying that they lack some of the knowledge that actually I'm surprised even some of them game. I actually ran into, I was looking at comparing tablets and iPads, and when I went in there, and I was looking at how, you know, being a gamer and all, I like to see which tablet has the best, you know, graphics and the can handle the most in gaming as well.
Well, that would be the iPad.
Yeah, right. And so I'm over there, and I'm playing this game, and one of the sales guys comes up to me and says, oh, do you play games? And I said, yeah, I do. And so he says, well, what games do you play? And I mention a couple, and then he says, I cannot believe it. And I said, what? And he said, you're actually a gamer, and you're a girl. And I looked at him, and I was like,
wait, what?
Really? You are so out of date.
Wow.
He did not try to sell me anything. He was trying to sell me himself. I mean, whole thing was, so what's your gamer tag? And
wait,
I have 100. Well, you know, the thing was that he was just like, and
how old was this kid?
Me,
was he like 16?
Oh, no, he must have been like 20 something. But he was, get this, he says he gamed all these games and he's played this and he's played that. And then he says to me, yeah, I played World of Warcraft. I have a gear score of 160. And
oh,
I'm like,
wow.
Really?
So he has like what? 2 pieces of gear on him at all times. Okay. Wow, 160. Wow, that's like you're in all greens and you do about 500 DPS a second. That's that. Wow, he's hardcore.
Dude, no lie. I was rolling. I was just like, I put down the iPad and I was just like, thanks.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
okay, seriously, like, for any guy, if you guys are going to walk up to a chick and find out that she's a gamer, don't try to impress her with your gear score. I mean, that's like, that's, I'd rather you hear a pickup line that says, "Hey, did it hurt when you fell from heaven?" I mean, just like, no, that's, oh my gosh. I'm not even sure what the, okay,
right,
I mean.
Here's the plus thing.
Oh, geez.
Who are listening right now, call in and tell us your best video game related pickup line.
Yes.
Do it.
There you go.
Do it, guys.
I want to hear some.
I mean, wow, that's. Okay.
So, yeah, so that basically is covering our little Best Buy spiel there. And I feel I'm very saddened because I know we don't have many others to choose from.
Well, and you know, you actually bring up another good point as well. We don't. I mean, I know that there's a couple places down in Texas called Fry's, and it's just like it's probably one of the best electronic stores in the country. And sadly, it goes out of business a lot of places because no one goes there because no one really uses it. I mean, unfortunately, a lot of the gadget stores and stuff that's in the know are going to be unlocked. As I
right.
Heck up, I apologize. I mean, you know, you have like Newegg, Tiger Direct, and just, I mean, hell, even eBay and Craigslist. I mean, you can find some really nice stuff.
Exactly.
So it's just it's more of a online. It's more just kind of mirroring the technology that they know. Okay, well, if we really want to reach people, we're going to have to be an online store, and that's why Newegg became so popular so quickly. I mean.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when they were first around, people were like, this is dumb. No one will ever go for this. And, and you know, they're like one of the largest electronic dealers in the entire nation. It's ridiculous. So yeah, it's just Best Buy, Walmart. I mean, don't even get me started about Walmart. They don't know crap.
No, well, not at all.
I mean, it's so funny, like, because I shop at Walmart. I'm okay with shopping at Walmart. I know there's a couple people that are like, oh, Walmart's the devil, blah blah blah. But it, you know, they have products for cheap, and they usually work pretty well. I mean, I've only had a couple of issues with a couple of their products, and you just don't buy them. You buy it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I've asked them for certain things, and the look on their faces is, oh, they have no idea what I just said. Okay, time to go look somewhere else. They're like, let me find out that out for you. And you're thinking they're not going to even check because they have no idea what it is. And you know,
exactly.
they'll go over to the computer and act like they're typing and go, nope, we don't have any in stock. And I'm like, that asshole, appreciate it. So
exactly.
So yeah.
In other news, we have Angry Birds Space. I don't know if you guys have tried this yet on your iPhone or your iPad or your iPod.
My phone is not compatible. It's so
Oh,
old.
No. Well, it's a fun game. I downloaded it. I did. But Angry Birds Space hits 10 million downloads in 3 days.
Holy.
It's
crap.
Exactly. It is it's flabbergasting. It's the full sequel to the Angry Birds phenomenon passed more than 10 million downloads in 3 days. The Space was released last week on the iOS devices, Android, Mac, and Windows, with the Windows Phone version also in the works. The ratio of paid to free downloads has not been offered by Rovio yet, but the company is rarely shy of blowing its own trumpet, so expect more data to be revealed over the next few weeks.
That's crazy.
If you haven't tried this game, Angry Birds, I mean, I like the game. I think it's awesome, and Angry Birds, the original one, was too. But just to think that the first Angry Birds game have been downloaded more than 700 million times on multiple platforms.
Wow.
It estimated that that Rovio itself saw sales of $100 million last year. This is on just alone on, you know, downloading it to iPad or iPhone or whatever. That's a lot of freaking money.
Wow.
By the way, I have an Angry Birds t-shirt.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh. Nice. Okay. I mean, cool, Shrakes. Cool story, bro. You should tell that at parties. Hey, Kat, speaking of t-shirts, is our swag store up yet, or have we finally shoot all the gnomes out of the closet?
No, our swag store is up, and if anybody wants to go purchase, and you can see some of Shrig's amazing artwork on our t-shirts, so you can go to www.codeboxmedia.com. He's doing wonderful, wonderful work.
Yes. Yes, he is. Shriggs, is everything okay? I heard the alarm trip over at the studio.
Oh, no, that's like my phone.
Oh, it's just your phone. Okay.
There's something beeping.
Eh, well, hey.
Something's going to explode.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And our last bit of news is that Warhammer 40,000 Dark Millennium no longer is an MMO. More bad news for the publishers of THQ: Warhammer 40,000 Dark Millennium will no longer be an MMO as originally planned. Instead, it will be an immersive single-player and online multiplayer experience with robust digital content and engaging community features. Disappointing financial results have caused the publisher to already implement severe layoffs. So,
wonder why.
Okay. Any other games they had that?
Yeah, I mean, guys, let's be completely honest. What Warhammer game, video game, has actually done well? Exactly.
I mean,
you have the what is it? The Dawn of War series, which is their RTS thing, which. It just did not work well. They tried to make it too much like the actual tabletop game, and you can't do that with an RTS because games either take way too long or they're just really frustrating to learn. So, and then, you know, you have their MMO, which did great, by the way. And that was a complete waste of space, and I wish I never bought that, but that's okay. I actually still have the big box that I bought, their stupid collector's edition thingy, but...
Oh, you bought Warhammer Online's collector's edition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was back when Benville had a wide-eyed face with tons of hope and a sack full of dreams.
Oh, that kind of money that went to the wrong company and then they screwed me over. But that's okay.
Yeah, unfortunately. I did the beta for a while and I kind of knew... Before they even released.
I didn't have that pleasure of being in the beta. All my buddies were like, oh, this is really cool. They were in the beta. They really enjoyed it. So I'm like, okay, cool. And I literally played it for a week and was like, this is such a piece of crap.
It's so difficult because they, you know, I really had high hopes for Mythic and everything like that. But the problem is that when you deal with a company that has had a history of the tabletop and so forth and the books and everything, they're going to want to stick to the lore. They're going to want to stick to certain things. And it's hard to do when you have a fan base that wants totally different. And so it just, you know, it turns out it was just horrible. I literally cried when I played that game.
Yeah, it was. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Wow. very emotional for Kat there, apparently. She's leveling Orc and going, this
I have an idea for Mythic.
Oh, they're no longer a company, so it doesn't matter.
Games Workshop, then. Make a digital version of the freaking Warhammer tabletop. That's all we want.
Kind of like Magic the Gathering did with their card game.
Yeah, that, but with tabletop stuff.
Only their card game is very, very limited, and you can't actually build your own decks.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Which is, I was like, oh, cool, I might buy this. And then I was like, oh, you can't build your own decks? Yeah, no.
I fell into that trap, too.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. That sucks. But, you know, I mean, you know, kind of a plug here. If you guys really are looking for a digital card game, go to Shadow Era. That's a wonderful card game. Me and Shriggs played a lot. I'm not sure if you still play, but okay, you do. Cool. I play it every once in a while when I'm waiting for my video to render or something. It's a lot of fun. They just released their final balance patch for their first deck, and they're coming out with a expansion deck sometime this year or next year, depending on when they get all the artwork done. So here's hoping it has less scantily clad ladies and some more cool-looking monsters.
I do love the
hopefully a better rogue deck this expansion because I
they had some nice rogue stuff though.
They did, but it was just it was not I still just got owned by the mage deck and crap that would just raffle my face. But that's okay. Oh, well. Anyway, let's see here. Moving on. Kat, any other tidbits of news? Shriggs, you got anything newsworthy you want to talk about? I didn't really have any interesting stories. I was going to go over another Mass Effect 3 story, but I think we've beat that to the point of no return. And I'm sick of hearing it. So.
A while ago, Anonymous said it was going to take down the internet today.
Yeah.
And, well, that worked about as well as all their other plans.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you think about it, you know, if they can breach the FBI website, shouldn't they be able to take down the internet? I mean, come on. Oh, well. Anyway. Moving on to some car talk. I know, Kat, you've been kind of getting into these modern cars that look like they're from Tron and stuff. So why don't you explain some of the cool stuff that you found out?
Well, this kind of new segment is just going to talk a little bit about some of our technology embedded in cars, in the modern type cars. Environmentally safe, things like that, blah, 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 that have all the tech goodies. Because I am one of those tech gadget lovers, computer generation type women, I want to drive the latest tech gadgets as well. And I've been looking up some really nice cars that are coming out. One of them I had posted on Facebook was had to do with Microsoft and the Mustang called the MicroStang. If you haven't seen that, you can go to www.codeboxmedia.com to take a look at that car. Another car that I just kind of looked up this week and I found was the EDAG light car. It's an open source feature. It has new materials, powertrain, lighting, and operation concepts. It will highlight itself and claims to being an all-around partner to the technology and mobility industry. This thing kind of looks like a Cube. Now, I have the Nissan Cube, the 2011 Nissan Cube, and it's the Chrome edition. So it's got all the little latest tech gadgets to it, and it's just a really all around nice little geeky type car for me. So it kind of looks like that, but it's the seats in the back actually turn to face the back, and the back window it's all open. So you
really?
Can have passengers sit, and you can just, you know, kind of look out and watch the back of the car.
Hmm.
So it's kind of different. You can go to our website at www.codeboxmedia.com, and you can kind of read some or read on it a little bit more and kind of view some pictures of what this concept's going to be like. But in terms of its greenness, it's a smart grid technology that will be employed to make green, as green as possible, and saving on fuel and the economy and you know, how gas prices are these days. So
yeah.
It's using renewable energy. It has a tubular steel base frame and steerable electrically powered axles.
Wow.
But what in terms of what goes on under the hood and the machine's speed, acceleration, and range capabilities, they're keeping it kind of quiet because they say that this technology is just state-of-the-art with this car. So I'd check it out, www.codeboxmedia.com.
Nice. And, you know, last week I was making fun of the car you were describing last week, which was the one by Microsoft, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw a picture of it when you finally post the article, and I was like, holy crap. I need to go eat my words and say this car looks so cool.
It does. It's amazing.
I was like, ooh, Tron. Finally. Someone finally made a Tron car. So once I get my Tron keyboard and mouse, I can buy the Tron car and I can be totally Tron fabulous.
I can so see you driving that car.
I know, right?
Get rid of your little smart car there.
I have a really crappy truck that gets no gas mileage and a car that's about 10 years old that we've had to fix quite a number of times because it's like, okay, can you just kill me now?
Well, you know, that's what happens when you put all your money towards your computers, huh?
Yeah, unfortunately it does.
Eventually,
like, oh,
computers will be cars.
But it's okay. I have 160 gear score, so I'm awesome.
You rock. Can I ride with you in your car? Because I love your gear score.
I was going to say something else, but my wife's standing behind me, and I don't want to get in trouble. So we'll just keep the comments to myself. Yeah. You two are horrible. You guys realize you guys are the reason I get beat every night, right?
We like that.
Yeah, I know. I figured.
I try my best.
Yeah, well. Oy vey. Moving on to gadget talk of the week. Kat, what have you found out about gadgets-wise? I personally don't... As I choke on my own air there, go ahead with the topic.
Okay, I'm sorry. I was enjoying listening to you choke.
I appreciate that.
Basically, gadgets of the week, I had, I wanted to kind of go over, I know a couple of people had emailed me and wanted to know what kind of system that I had. And so I really want to kind of focus a little bit about the laptop that I got last month. And it is called the Asus G74FX.
You want to say that five times fast?
Yeah. Asus G74FX. When most people think of Asus, the first thing that comes to mind is the high-quality hardware that the company produces. However, it is also one of the leading producers of desktop PCs and laptops. So this Asus G74FX is a perfect example of what this company is able to produce in the world of gaming laptops. The first thing hardcore gamers really want to look out for when comparing gaming laptops is the hardware used to power the portable powerhouses. And the Asus G74FX has some of the best hardware on the market. The NVIDIA GeForce GTX 560M is one of the best video cards out there right now and the first GPU in the NVIDIA GeForce 500M lineup. With 3 GB of memory and the capability of producing 3D gaming on your laptop, the card is just really not for the faint of heart. The video card is complemented by the Intel Core i7-263 or 2630 QM processor and an outstanding 12 gigabytes of DDR3 RAM. The high-end components and overall quality design make it easy for us to give the Asus one of top 10 reviews Silver Award, making it 2012's second best laptop in the gaming industry.
I want one.
If you want to take a look at it, and there's a video as well that tells you a little bit more about it, you can go to www.codeboxmedia.com and check out the system that I was craving and able to get last month.
Now, this is the one that you personally own with the Mass Effect symbol on it, right?
Correct, yes.
How did you get that? Is that something you had to specially order from Asus?
Yes, it is. It is... You can actually upgrade to 16 gigabytes of RAM if you want. So you can pretty much put the system together however you want. I just, obviously, I got the 12 gigabytes of RAM. That was enough for me right now. But
that's overkill. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. But so the upgrading actually in the bottom, if you flip it over, you can slide the bottom part off. And then you can see where the where the RAM goes and where the processor is and everything. So you can upgrade the laptop yourself just to kind of keep it in tune with everything else. Because laptops are kind of hard to upgrade.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, the whole sliding off the bottom thing also makes it easier for you to dust everything out. Because, you know,
right.
Like with normal laptop, you have to go, okay, you have to look at the sides and go, okay, where's the stupid fan? And you got to kind of angle the can to spray the air in. And it works sometimes. But, like, with this laptop, the fans are these two huge fan ports on the back, which is awesome.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you have the sliding bottom feature. That's great. That's a perfect – I think even a laptop that doesn't game, I think every laptop should have that. it's a feature that I don't understand why laptops have not been having for a while, because – Why put the fans on the bottom when they're going to be resting on carpet or someone's lap or something? That just never made any sense to me.
I agree.
Like, I was like, wait, what? And the side fans, don't they use the turbine technology where the air just kind of gets sucked in or blown out in a certain way?
Exactly.
Okay.
So the coolant inside the system, the cooling system, is just – it's phenomenal. It is state-of-the-art. It's actually some of the cooling systems they use in automobiles as well.
Oh, wait. So your laptop's liquid-cooled?
No, actually, if you go to the website, it'll explain a little bit more about how the technology is.
I was like, wait, what?
You have to go and actually look at to see, so it explains a little bit more about how the coolant system is. But it's just, it is one of the state-of-the-art that they have used in the automobiles as well. So it's just amazing. I have not had problems with this system yet. And the only problem that I find, and it's not even a big problem, is I had to special order my backpack to hold the system so I could bring it to Best Buy, or not Best Buy, but Barnes & Noble or wherever I was travel with it. And the backpack is huge. It's the only backpack that will actually hold this huge system. So, I'm a small person, so I have this backpack and this heavy laptop, and I look like I'm going to fall over.
Okay, well, you said it was big. Gosh, my throat is not being nice today. How much does it weigh, and how big is the screen?
It's 17-inch.
Oh, nice.
It's 17-inch screen, so it's really good. I do not know how much it weighs, but it's pretty heavy.
All right, cool. Very nice. Guys, honestly, if Kat, can we ask you how much the laptop ran you? Just the base, nothing customized.
Nothing customized. $1,400.
That's not bad. I mean, especially for, are you kidding me? For a gaming laptop, that's like over less than half of what it would cost you if you bought it somewhere else.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
Like I'm looking at all other websites and stuff, and most of those gaming laptops are like 2K plus. With like bare minimum stuff, so, and you know, Asus is actually one of, if not the best laptop producers in the world. So, for $1,400, that's a solid deal for a mobile gaming PC that could do pretty much anything a liquid cooled $5,000 computer could do, with about the same FPS rate and whatnot. So, yeah.
Exactly.
I would definitely, if you guys have the money and if you guys are looking for it, I would definitely recommend that laptop. It's retardedly awesome. So, let's see. On my show notes, it has commercial, but there's no actual details as to what commercial you're referring to. Okay, so thank you for being vague. It just says commercial plus commercial, and I'm like, okay, that's helpful. So. Is this the special announcement that we're getting to? Is that the commercial you're referring to?
Yes, actually.
Okay.
For those who are interested, I know we had mentioned it just slightly last show. This month we're going to be starting a new contest for Pobar Toys and Digital Tech Frontier. They're giving away a couple of 3D educational books and kits to a bunch of our Codebox Media fans. If you haven't visited Pobar Toys to find out what these kits are and what they consist of, you can visit them at www.pobartoys.com. That's PoparToys.com. And this is in celebration of Month of the Military Child. So if you are a military listener or you know somebody who is in support of Month of the Military Child, I'd head on over there and check out what they have to offer and then come back to our site next week when we'll have the contest running and you can enter and try to get one of those kits for a special military child.
Awesome, awesome. And I'm going to go ahead and just kind of play the commercial. It runs about 2 minutes long, everybody, so enjoy the clip. And we'll see you in just a couple minutes.
3, 2, 1, 0.
Pop Our Toys. Read it, see it, be it. Are your kids tired of the same old books? Welcome to the 3D interactive universe of Pop Our Toys. You can play with 3D planets, princesses, trucks, or bugs right in the comfort of your own home. Play with the dragonfly. Travel to the space station. Become a grasshopper. Have a princess party. Pick your 3D adventure. Start the software. And watch the Pop Art Reader scan your toy and bring it to life. Watch the bee collect honey. Drive a forklift. Turn into an astronaut. It's as easy as A, B, C, 3D. Wait, there's more. All Pop Art toys come included with an animated virtual reality game and read-along feature. Simply bring Marky close to any one of the symbols and watch the magic happen. Bulldoze trees out of the way or watch the tarantula eat. Having fun and learning has never been so easy. Not only do you get the Pop Art Reader, but you also get a free set of 3D cards with every kit. You can go from being a princess to working on a construction site. Choose your adventure and live it. That's not all. We even included the magic costume card that lets you turn into all your favorite Pop Art characters. Your adventure is never over, as you can take pictures and record your own movies to share with your friends and family. All Pop Art kits come included with a Pop Art Reader, Pop Art Interactive Book, Pop Art Interactive Cards, and a Be It Costume Card. For more information and to find out about other toys in this amazing series, visit www.popartoys.com. Pop Art Toys. Read it, see it, be it.
Cool. Hope you guys enjoyed that little commercial there. It is really a really neat company that has a lot of like really cool 3D technology that they're really striving to push towards and just kind of actually make the technology a little bit more enjoyable for kids to, you know, read books and just kind of learn about things. So,
yeah, we had Scott Jokum, who is the president of Pop Art Toys and Digital Tech Frontier, on in January, and we interviewed him, and he's just an amazingly brilliant guy who deals a lot with the 3D gaming and you know, educational. So hats off to him and props to the company for supplying this stuff for our listeners.
Yes, definitely, guys. Check out popartoys.com. It's awesome. Moving on to my incredibly fun rant that I've been looking forward to.
You know what burns my ass? A flame about this high.
And with that small, mediocre flame burning my ass, I'm going to start off just by saying the Age of Empires Online game. Been looking forward to it for quite a while. It's been out, and I've been waiting for it to come to Steam, which Steam usually is really good about getting free-to-play games on their servers and just making it even more user-friendly. I'm sure you guys have experienced this numerous times. I mean, we have games like you know, like Rise of Immortals, which are on Steam now, and just other games that kind of have a crappy system to begin with, and then they kind of switch over to Steam, and Steam goes, okay, well, here, we can help you guys and give you some better stable servers and blah, blah, blah. So I'm like, cool, okay. Nope. You install a game on Steam, and you still have to use Games for Windows Live, or whatever the hell that thing is called. I mean, I'm sure you guys have experienced the wonders and fun of Windows Games Live, or whatever. Like, is there a specific name that this is called, or is it just crap? I mean,
crap.
Oh my.
Game, you mean the games for Windows? Really?
Yeah, the
shit.
Yeah, like, oh
my gosh. Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's so bad. I spent 2.5 hours trying to remember my damn login. I couldn't remember what it was. Last time I used this was for Batman Arkham Asylum. That game is how many years old now? Really old. I'm not going to remember that because they forced you to, if you bought it on a PC, they forced you to use the damn thing or else you couldn't save. So I'm like, okay, that sucks. And then every time I tried to log into the Batman game, I was like, okay, what's my login again? Because, you know, they made you sign up for a Hotmail account. And it's like, I don't want a Hotmail account. I just wanted to play the game. So last night I was just vigorously typing, like, I have tried all my email addresses, all my passwords. I can't. And there's no button to, hey, I forgot my user ID, send it to me. It just forgot password. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So it sends it to my email account. which I'm like, okay, I'm guessing that's the email account I'm using, right? No, that's not it. So I tried all these different combinations of what I usually use an email address at hotmail.com or whatever that bullcrap address is. I'm just like, forget it. It's not worth it. I'm not going to even play it. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to play Age of Empires Online, even though I hear it's a lot of fun, and I'm a big Age of Empires fan. I still have Age of Mythology, actually, on CD, and I actually have to use a DOS box to run it because my computer's the operating system doesn't run older games that were not meant for the higher operating systems, which is funny.
Right.
So it was just frustrating. So I'm like, this is stupid. What? And you know, I'm trying to create a new account, and there's like 90 different steps you have to go on to make a new account. And I'm like, this isn't even worth it either to play one game. Are you kidding me?
Oh. Yeah, but then if you start a new account, doesn't save? I mean, you don't get all of the stuff that you had previously played before. So you're starting from scratch.
Exactly.
New account.
Oh, the best part about this entire process is this free-to-play game wanted a CD key.
What?
I'm just like...
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Yeah. Well, no. Apparently, it's a glitch on Windows, games for Windows. Shocker. I mean, that's such a great program. It's just all the bugs are worked out. It's just such a great program. And... apparently, I went on the forums, and there's all these posts of, like, a disappointment. This game sucks. Why do I need a CD key? It's free. And one of the support little sticky is, like, issue solved. Go to this to get your CD key. And I'm like, well, I can't log in, so I don't even know my CD key. So big middle finger to you guys. I mean, it's just, oh, my gosh. I was like, why do I need a CD key? One, why do I need a CD key in the first place? Like, really? It's just the 90s again. I mean, like, CD keys are so easily forged, it's ridiculous these days. Well, why aren't we using the electronic keys that all these other games now use, where you have to authenticate stuff online, which I'm okay with that, but that still annoys me when I have to authenticate a single-player game online, Mass Effect 2, to name a couple games. You know, you have, like, Batman Arkham Asylum was like, oh, yeah, you have to be connected to Windows Live or else you can't save or play this game. What? Okay, thanks. You know, Diablo's doing that. Diablo 3 is doing that. StarCraft does that. You can't do any type of multiplayer or anything. It's just, I'm just like, okay, why? It was such a big frustration for me. I was just like, this is stupid. It's, anyway, moving on. But, I mean, yeah.
I sympathize with you because my husband tried to do that with Grand Theft Auto,
mm-hmm.
and it kept asking him for his Windows Live shit, and he got to the point where he was so because he had so much saved and he just didn't want to restart, you know?
Yeah.
And he was so pissed off that he literally took the box and just threw it away. I mean, he like literally
it's not worth it anymore.
He was like, screw that. Screw Windows, screw Microsoft, screw the damn games industry when it comes to that. I mean,
yeah.
He was so, so mad. And I was just like, oh, my goodness, I'm going to have to, like, crash this because he's, like, enraged.
Well, it's – did you?
No, unfortunately. I just found it funny.
I love that.
Okay.
That is first response is, did you?
Yeah, well, I mean, but seriously, though, why? Why? Like, if – you know, it kind of goes to the Origins argument as well, you know, Origins versus Steam. EA's, you know, like claiming that, oh, yeah, ours is so much better than Steam. How? It's the exact same thing. I mean, I prefer Steam because it's been worked on over the years and it's had time to perfect itself. Origins isn't bad. I just feel that EA's forcing me to use Origins because they're forcing you to actually use Origins, if that makes any amount of sense. They're like, well, we're not going to sell any of our games on Steam because we want you to use Origins because it's better. No.
Right.
You let me choose what I want. Your thing is about the same thing, and it's buggy as crap. It's just like, I don't want to add all my billions of friends that I have on Steam over to Origins. That, for one, is a pain in the ass. And I have, I think I have you, Tadawin, and Atler on Origins. And that's just because, well, you play Mass Effect, so you're always on. It's the only way I can actually communicate with you. And Atler's on there because me and him play Battlefield every once in a while. And then Ted, I think Tedwin's on there just because. I don't even remember why he's on there. So, I mean, it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, well, I have to add more people. This is a pain in the butt. And there's no like, hey, you know, you can sync, which, you know, a good program would be like, hey, take this file, copy it into this directory, and you'll have all your friends added, and we'll sync
right.
it for you. I mean, mm-hmm. I have, just like on my Steam list, I have, let's see, let me do some math here. I have about 45 friends on my Steam list, and most of those people I don't even talk to. They're just because of the Dota 2 tournament that we do each week, and I have to add the team's captains, and yeah. So it's just like, okay, I understand that they're trying to, you know, compete with Steam, but why shoot something that's already really, really good in the first place? Why make people forced into using Origins? I mean, it's like with Battlefield 3. They're like, hey, you kind of have to use Origins to play this or else you can't really do anything. And I'm like, well, that sucks. And, you know, Shriggs was actually asking me, is there anywhere where I can find Mass Effect 1 and 2 for under $20? And I'm like, well, GameStop, and apparently your GameStop is overpriced as hell and you can't find both games for $20.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, well, is... you said something to the effect of Mass Effect 3 coming to Steam or something. And I'm like, yeah, no, because EA is boycotting Steam for some stupid reason.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we're not going to sell any of our games on Steam because we're EA and we're much better. And it's like, no, you're no. Mm-mm. It's frustrating because I'm having to use all these other programs that just make it more complicated for me to actually play a game. It's like, okay.
Now,
well,
Beth?
Yes.
My actual question was, can I use a save from a Steam version of Mass Effect 2 to translate over to the Origin version of Mass Effect 3 so I can continue the game over there?
Save file-wise, I think you can. I think the data is not any different when it's
mm-hmm.
saved through Steam or saved through Origins. Kat, can you confirm that?
Repeat that again?
He's wondering if he can use a save file from a game that he used on Steam over to Origins, like, example, Mass Effect or Mass Effect 3, to et cetera, et cetera.
No, I doubt that they're... And
oh, really?
I think that's why Origin is doing that, is because they're trying to prevent anything from being copied over. So, I mean, I would, you can try it. I would just, if you get some kind of weird-ass error or whatever, just, you know, uninstall it and then reinstall again.
Mm-hmm. I just won't press my luck.
Yeah, I mean, you have programs like this one thing that for some reason I'm using now. It's Raptor, or whatever the hell it's called. How do you pronounce that?
Raptor.
Raptor, okay. And, you know, it keeps track of all the games you play and all the hours you play and stuff. And, you know, that to me is actually pretty cool because it's fun to see, okay, well, I'm better than this person, but this person has no life, so, ha, I'm still better than that person. I mean, so, and it's, that for me is fun because it's just a little desktop app that runs in the background, and, you know, sure, they have their community thing, but they're not forcing it down your throat to say, you must use this or else you can't play this game. So, I mean,
right.
I think if Origins maybe did that and said, hey, well, we have these really cool stat tracking things, so this gives you better incentive to use Steam. Et cetera, et cetera. So, I mean, I don't know. It's annoying to me when companies are force you to use their platform or else you can't play their game. I mean, you know, I guess Steam does it in a way of with Half-Life and Counter-Strike, but in their defense, they have a working model. It's not like there's... is a pain in the ass to sign up for an account. I mean, you can make a Steam account in under about 30 seconds. You just give them your account name, whatever account name you want, your email, your password, and a couple other, like, you know, newsletter options and stuff like that. And boom, you have an account. There you go. You can start buying stuff. You know, like with Windows, the Windows Live crap, you know, that's connected to Xbox 360. And, gosh, I remember even signing up for an Xbox account. That was a pain in the ass. Because I'm just like, wait, what?
Still is,
yeah. Oh. So, anyway, end rant on that. It's just a frustrating thing because I really wanted to play Age of Empires, and I'm like, it's not worth the hassle. And when that happens, then companies, I think, really should be like, oh, well, then that's probably not a good idea. And again, maybe that's just me. Maybe I get too frustrated with things easily or something. I don't know. But it's just, to me, it just seems like it's stupid to force your customers into using something that is really not that good in the first place.
See, and I wouldn't have in going back to your previous statement about how Steam actually has it's a stable application, and it's been around for a while, and they've kind of worked on it, and they've actually been able to kind of iron out the kinks as compared to Origin. I don't think Origin would be that bad if EA actually listened to the community, because if you take a program and you kind of force people to use it, and you are known for not even listening to your community and just kind of doing things the way that you want, then nobody's going to want to use it in the first place. And two, anything that is out of the ordinary or has bugs or has, any issues is not going to get completely fixed right away because they're not listening to the community in the first place.
So
now you have this Origin application that you're being forced to use, and Windows applications that you're being forced to use, and everybody just gets frustrated because whatever is happening, if you're having issues, you're not getting them answered anyways, and if you are getting them answered, you're not being much being condescending, and you're not doing it the right way anyways. It has to be you. It's not them. So I see with Steam, their success is based on the community because they do have a lot of community that tries to help each other and tries to fix things, and then Steam actually listens and gets things done. So
that's what you basically need.
And I just don't Origin kind of pisses me off to the point as well because it's, I've logged into Mass Effect, and then it says they have this bug where if your computer goes to sleep or if you accidentally shut down, then you're still logged into Origin, but it shows that you're offline. So now when I'm playing multiplayer, I can't invite anybody to play with me because it's saying that I'm offline, even though in the game I'm online.
Well, that sucks.
It's frustrating. So I understand how the Windows works too, because it's frustrating, especially with Xbox as well, because it pisses me off.
Yeah, it's just I hate when companies make things overcomplicated and they have to make it really flashy. It's just like less is more, people. I mean, not shameless plug here, but if you look at CodeBoxMedia.com, it's simple. We have just one, two color scheme. Our tabs are very easy and well organized. It's something that less is always more. And Steam is that way too. Because, okay, here, just an example, everybody. We're going to go to the store, and right now, the store page has, in the center, it has a list of rotating games that they change almost daily. Like, what's popular, what's new, what's upcoming. Hey, people have liked this game. And then below that, they have their featured PC games and their featured Mac games. So they actually have the games that people are buying these days, and the developers think, hey, these are really cool for even the Mac and the PC. Then you have your new releases, and then you have all your tabs. It's like, top sellers, specials coming soon, et cetera, et cetera. And then you have your tabs up at the top, which is, their genres, which is all very, very nicely organized, their demos, et cetera, et cetera. And then on the right of that, they have their spotlight deals, community activity, which is very, very well, just it's simple. It's not like big flashy colors and big letters. It's just a nice small box of this is how many players we have online, and these are what your friends are currently playing. Then we have all their organization of their engine, if you were, is just so much better organized than anything out there. I mean, Origins is just – I hate to say it, but I hate when people use white. That bugs the crap out of me. White is not an inviting color because, one, it's bright, and it's just a lot – it's just everywhere. It's white. White is one of those colors that you don't use as a backdrop to anything. If you see a lot of professional websites use the dark blues, the blacks, the grays, and just like offset of colors that are more darker. And then their main content is always really, really flashy and bold. Like even going, oh, look, Call of Duty 3 is using white background. That's a shocker there. And, you know, we have, let's see, a good example here would be Age of Empires or something. They have a lot of bright colors, and it looks really, really well on Steam because of their black background. Everything pops out at you, and I think that really makes it as well. Maybe I'm just being facetious. I don't know. I hate websites and programs that just use white, and it's just like, oh my gosh, tone down the colors. I don't know. That's kind of off topic. Yeah. Shrake's is just kind of listening like, wow, my boss is crazy.
What do you think about Gamersgate?
Gamersgate isn't bad, but I've still have yet to buy anything off Gamersgate because I just use Steam.
Use the DRM like Steam, or is it something different?
I'm not sure. Kat, have you used Gamersgate?
I have not.
Okay.
Do you, Shrake, use it religiously?
No, I've never actually used it. I'm just curious.
Gamersgate is nice because it gives you certain discounts depending on what icon you actually choose. You can choose like things that give you like small discounts on like indie games, RPGs, action shooters, adventures. It's nice because it gives you a small amount of discounts and you can get rewards and stuff. But again, I think that Steam is just really kind of ahead and just kind of top-notch in there. And there's so many companies that are trying to be the next Steam, and it's just like, okay, well, now it's getting to the point where they know that they can't really compete with Steam, so they're forcing people to use it anyway, even though they know it's either not going to be perfected or not really going to be that good. And that, to me, is just kind of getting annoying, especially as a PC gamer. You know, as a console gamer, for those of you guys who don't really dabble into the PC, you guys don't have that problem because you just have your Xbox and you could go pick up a game at Walmart for crying out loud. I mean, we have so many different ways for us to purchase games online. We could buy it straight from the developer. We could buy it from Amazon. We could buy it from eBay. We could buy it, except, you know, there's just so many different aspects that we can buy that are digital copies from where companies are finally saying, okay, well, we don't want to share the revenue with anyone else. We're going to force people to just use our engine of the store or whatever it's technically called. It's becoming more of a nuisance than anything to try and install 16 different programs just to play 16 different games. And again, the only reason I have Origins is because I own Battlefield 3. The only sole reason I have Origins is because of one game. One game, and that's it. And then Origins is just – I've noticed that it uses a lot of my computer resources, which is not a good thing. My processor always goes up a couple degrees when Origins is running in the background, and that's something Steam doesn't do. It's frustrating. It's really, really frustrating, and I wish that companies would just pull their head out of their ass and just say, okay, well – even though that we might have to share a dollar with Steam every time someone buys our game, who gives a crap because they have a good business model? People trust them, and it actually works. And Steam actually monitors everyone's accounts so closely that one of my buddies actually was pissed that Steam wouldn't let him buy, it was $200 worth of games or something. And Steam's like, you're spending too much on this account. We need to verify that you're this person. He was getting pissed about it because Steam wouldn't let him do it. And I'm like, dude, that's a good thing. They're protecting your account. They're making sure you're not getting hacked.
Right.
And he's like, yep. No, that's dumb. I mean, I've purchased lots of games before, and they should know who. I'm like, okay, so you'd rather have someone hack your account and just start randomly going out and spending $200 on Steam without them having verify you? That's awesome. A company should always do that. So it's just, you know, Origins wouldn't do that. They wouldn't give a crap if they're going to get $200. They're like, sweet, someone's getting $200 worth of games. Let's send it through. It's just, it's just frustrating. And it's something that I really wish would just kind of stop. But I don't see that happening in the near future. That's okay.
Right, right.
So,
it's all about money.
Yeah, it is, unfortunately. It's just, it really is. Moving on to video games worth sharing. Catch, what did you have for us this week, if anything?
Yeah, actually, if you haven't been keeping up with our YouTube channel, I would suggest that you go ahead and visit youtube.com/codeboxmedia. You can also click on a link there that goes to youtube.com/catrat27, and that's our Cat Attack Codebox Media channel, where we have special episodes for epic moments, certain moments that have to do with any game, basically, as well as a couple of in-game guides and reviews. But our main one is the YouTube.com Codebox Media. One of our videos that I kind of want to share with everybody today, if they have not been to YouTube lately, is the newest uploaded one for Mass Effect 3, and that is the Prothean. If you don't have, the only way that you can actually get this Prothean is from the Mass Effect 3 Collector's Edition or the downloadable content. So if you don't have either one, this is actually going to be a nice little treat for those who want to know what's going on with the Prothean Edition.
Nice. That's interesting.
Yeah, the basically it kind of runs through Shepard revisiting Eden Prime and uncovering a preserved live Prothean companion.
Oh, wow.
Now, I pretty much played the Mass Effect 3 rendition with the live Prothean companion. Let me tell you, everything is different. The changes, pretty much the storyline and so forth, it changes a little bit. It gives you a little bit more in-depth. So if you want to kind of follow along with what's going on, if you haven't had the collector's edition or the downloadable content, and you want to know kind of how the storyline progresses and some of the choices you can actually make as with the Prothean companion, I'd recommend going to youtube.com, Codebox Media, or clicking on the, once you get there, click on the Cat Attack Codebox Media channel, and
nice.
You'll be able to kind of keep up with that.
Okay, awesome. And if you guys are already subscribed to the YouTube channel, we actually have our cross-promotions for my channel and Kat's channel as well. Shriggs doesn't have his own channel because he's a noob and doesn't even use Twitter, so...
I use DeviantArt. I'm an artist.
Yeah, he has his own channel, but he doesn't want to share what it is.
Yeah, well, that's probably true because he's embarrassed at all of his little pony drawings, so... Yeah... Yeah, I went there. Anyway.
And you.
Okay, yeah, good luck with that. A game I'd like to share about with... Okay, apparently my words aren't coming out in the correct order. You know what? Never mind. I'm just not going to even try and talk anymore. All right, so it's story time with Shriggs. Shriggs, I know you had a little cool segment that you wanted to kind of pop on us this week. This is the part of the show where Shriggs comes out and tells a story. So let's sit around the campfire and listen.
Yeah, so a couple weeks ago, I got in this time machine.
Cool story, bro. Thanks for sharing, man. And moving on. No, I'm just
fuck
kidding.
Fuck you!
Just go ahead. Get it.
I got an assignment in my digital art class to review an art gallery featuring a video or photographs or something like that. And one option that she lightly gave was review a video game. And I said, all right, come here. Come here, teacher. This is Journey. Let me do this. And as some of you may be aware, this is definitely fucking art. Journey is art.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. It tells a story with its the way it presents a picture in a very, very beautifully rendered 3D environment. It is. I mean, the amount of time that and it was produced by an indie company, no less. I mean, go figure. Mm-hmm. It's just the game is such a wonderful piece of work. It's really hard to describe. And I know from actually a couple of testaments from people, they have actually cried at certain points in this game because it's that just emotionally driven and if I remember correctly, there's no talking in this game whatsoever, right?
Done.
Yeah, so I mean if you can make someone cry without talking and just let alone artwork and 3D models and stuff, That, to me, is a solid game. And let me guess, your teacher wouldn't let you use it, would she?
No. And let me just say, I was not ashamed of those tears.
Okay. We are.
No,
but that's
she didn't.
Okay.
So,
now, is this game just for the PlayStation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
We hope they move it to other platforms, but we can only hope. So
anyway,
later that week, I emailed her with a link to a exhibit at the Smithsonian that's going on right now through August or September.
Uh-huh.
And it's the Art of Video Games exhibit, where it features video games from the very beginning to present day with the PlayStation 3 and the PC and stuff like that.
Yep.
And all I said was, here, video games are art. So say the Smithsonian. And she said, okay, you can write about this exhibit. So I was like,
okay.
Yes, I win. So I've been looking over this thing, and I nailed down, and the one thing I can really say about this is, it's like looking at the history of art in a condensed 20-year, 40-year span. It's like Pac-Man and Space Invaders, cave paintings. Stuff from Super Nintendo and N64, Van Gogh, David, and a few other medieval
American
art. Right. And, like, indie stuff, cubism and surrealism.
Right.
Like, that is a crazy accurate comparison. And that all my friends I've talked to this about said, that makes a stupid amount of sense. And it's right.
Yeah.
And
well,
it's really
because... Yeah, if you really look at the progression of not only the video games art, but just the progression of, you know, if you want to classify it as a bit rate, really, I mean, is the quote unquote art term, I guess, in video games. If you want to get, you know, really, really kind of down to the core of it, the limitations were really the amount of pixels that could be shown on screen. So, I mean, you know, Shrakes is definitely right when he says Pac-Man and Space Invaders. We're definitely the caveman era of video game art. And just the amount of graphic capability that the systems could produce at the time.
Now, Bass,
yes.
I don't say this out of graphical capability. I say this out of concept. Because when cave paintings existed, those were not art. That was not meant to be pretty pictures. Those were actually meant to convey information to other people. What game is in this area? What have we killed? Who is the top hunter? And with Pac-Man and Space Invaders, those were not meant to be art. Those were playthings. They really were just entertainment. And it evolved in something that was art, that was human expression.
Okay. I can see that.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's awesome because we've been able to live in the short amount of time and watch a medium grow into something that actually is art.
Now, you know, since you're writing a paper on this, I assume you've done research, which is a rare thing for a college student to do, if I might add. When did Space Invaders and Pac-Man officially come out? Can you remember off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head. I'd say Pac-Man 19... I don't know.
I'll look it up.
Probably 70s or early 80s. Like, there's way earlier stuff than Pac-Man, though.
Well, I mean, but Pac-Man and Space Invaders were really kind of some of the first, like...
Like, the first pioneering part is like, hey, this stuff is kind of really cool.
I mean, you have Pong. Let's see. Pong release date.
Like, 1964.
Pong was released in November 29th, 1972.
Okay, I suppose.
So, I mean... If you really want to be, you know, cynical, I guess I personally consider Pong the first video game ever to come out. I mean, I think that was like the major, like, holy crap, what is this game? It's so awesome. Look at this ball and these two pegs, and it's boop, 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 boop. I mean, it's just, yeah, you have a almost, what? I'm trying to do some quick math here, almost 40 to 50 year time span of the evolution from Pong to, you know, something like Journey or something like, good graphics here, Battlefield 3, that go from a completely flat 2D expression of whatever technical term you use, Shregism, I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly what you, the cool art terms you were using, but you have that, then it goes on to Battlefield 3, who's, it's just like super real, and you actually feel like you're inside the game. So, I mean, is your paper done yet, or are you still working on it?
It's not a paper, it's a critique, so it's actually pretty short, but I did a lot of research to condense the information into something that's workable, and it's opinion.
Trig, when is this due?
Next week.
Oh, goodness. Because on the 14th, we have Chris Melesinos on air. We're going to be interviewing him, and he's the author of The Art of Video Games, From Pac-Man to Mass Effect. And he is, him and a couple of other legendary graphic artists from Pac-Man and those eras are going to be, have written this book, and which we are in the process of reviewing, and he is going to be live on air to discuss the art of video games from that era to now, and basically the fascinating influential artists and designers from pioneers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that would just have been a wonderful, to get their input for you on that would have been just you know, wonderful. And actually, you could probably still use that information for some of your other paperwork.
Yeah. No, I'll just tell my teacher, hey, listen to this week and be amazed at what I'm about to do. It's going to be really cool.
Well, way to take credit for all the work we're doing, Shrek. That's awesome.
hey,
teach, check out this cool podcast. I do.
Wait.
No, on that specific date, I'm going to contribute to the show more so than I ever have.
Okay, I expect that because, you know, if you want a paycheck, oh, wait, who are we kidding? We don't pay you. that's funny.
Wait a minute.
Oh, Shrake's actually convinced you had to pay him? Yeah. I can't help.
I sent him.
What? I'm not going to go there.
Being a starving artist is an urban legend. They aren't supposed to starve.
You know the Almighty Emperor is still waiting on his picks, Kat. He keeps telling me to remind you. So
I thought, you know what, when he had the little Keystone incident, I didn't want to bother him because I didn't think he had the stamina to keep up with me.
Oh. All right. I will have to relay that message. That's pretty funny. Holy vey. But Shriggs, anything else, man? That's actually a really interesting kind of concept that you found there. I'm still shocked your teacher wouldn't want. Well, I'm not shocked because, you know.
No, he's like, I'm trying to bring her into grasping this idea of video games have become art.
Yeah, so I mean,
they were never art to begin with.
Well, that's not true. That's not true at all. I mean,
Pong is not art. I will admit that. It's like a little play thing. It was kind of neat, and it expanded into a medium with which people can create expression.
Well, right. I mean, like some of the older games really were just kind of there for entertainment. But, you know,
exactly.
you have games like Heavy Rain and Dragon Age, the stuff that really tell a story through visuals and really kind of, I mean, you know, one question I would really ask your professor is, does she qualify movies as art, or are they just entertainment as well? I mean,
if
book.
Have movie in the title, yes.
See, then her skewed view,
yes.
Mind point is something
she's more of like the artsy movies, like independently made film festival type of movies would be art.
So she's one of the people that consider a blank piece of paper with a dot in the middle art.
No, because there's this one artist she knows of who, like, her thing is she makes herself cry every day for an entire year and takes a picture of it, and she hates that bitch.
Oh, okay.
Wait, she makes herself cry every day.
yeah,
put her tears onto a piece of paper.
No, she takes a picture of herself in the moment of crying every year, and my sister hates that bitch. It's like, oh, my God, this is not even art. What the fuck is this person doing?
Well, I mean, some I just...
There's some crappy artists out there that make tons of money.
That's true.
That's kind of disturbing in a way, because now to somebody like me, that would, if I were to see that and somebody said it was art, I would associate art with some type of mental, emotional problem, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like...
I have thought that insane.
Yeah, I mean, well, that Triggs, you're insane. Get over it. It's just art for me, you know, it's like the Mona Lisa or something that, you know, people actually take time to paint, not, okay, well, I'm going to open up, paint here, and draw a circle and then sell it for $500 because it's art and it symbolizes a togetherness and being a circle. No, that's not art. That's something that you did in about 5 seconds and you want to call it art. No, sorry. That's just, no. I mean, and yeah, the whole crying thing, that kind of disturbs me and makes me question her sanity, as well as she probably needs a hug every once in a while. Jeez.
Well, it's not that she's sad. She forces herself into tears, like through pain or watching a sad movie or whatever. It's just some weird thing. I don't really understand it.
Okay, so she definitely has a mental problem. I think we've established that one. what do you do for a living? Oh, I make myself cry and take pictures of it and call it art. Oh, we can't be friends. Yeah. So, but you know, Triggs, kind of going a little bit more back to the journey game. Did your teacher say why it wasn't art? I mean, did she give you a good reason,
no,
or did she give you a?
Because it wasn't art. She said I couldn't write about it because I only showed her a trailer, and I don't think she really got it from just watching the trailer.
Okay.
I'm definitely gonna make her play the game.
Well,
mark
I mean,
my
yeah,
words.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those games that just really tell a story through pictures or motion.
Can you get like, say the starting, like the, I don't know, the preliminary stages of development in the artwork, and then give that to her and see what she thinks of that, because you basically have to have the preliminary stages of drawing before you can actually use the graphical, you know, applications to enhance that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's like video games, they're not just art in themselves, they are also made of art.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
I mean, yeah, it all comes from concept art and concept models and concept drawings. I mean, nothing's like
narrative.
Oh, we're gonna make Mass Effect 3. Here's all the artwork I had it saved for 6 years. Woohoo! It's just like, no. I mean, you have to start off with a blank piece of paper and slowly draw the characters into what you think they're gonna look like, and that takes a lot of time. So, you know, video games are art. In the sense of, I think they're more of a story form of art rather than just still pictures.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. I don't know.
Dear Esther is crack.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. There is, yep. I definitely agree with that one. That game, they tried. And it's just, it's not good. It's really boring. And, I mean, unlike Journey, the difference between Journey and that game is, I think that it has to do with the visuals. I mean, you even have games like Amnesia, or what the hell is the other game?
Penumbra?
Penumbra. I can never remember how to pronounce that. Yes, thank you. That really have, you know, they have dialogue and there's really not a big story, but it's all atmospheric and it scares the crap out of you every time you play it. So
I actually mentioned Amnesia in my critique.
Well, that's like, good. That's good because it. See, Shriggs, you're one of those people that are going to college because you think that art is developing into something more than just drawings and pieces of paper with dots on them. It's more of an expression of the story, the character, and just how the people are feeling at the time. So
I have two parts for the definition of art.
Okay.
One from a teacher and one I came up with myself.
All right.
The definition he gave me was art is something that elicits emotion.
Okay.
And the thing I added to that is art must also be a manifestation of human expression.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very accurate description of art and really any form of art that is, you know, visually there. I mean, it's if you go to a museum and you look at a painting of a sunset with a house on it next to a beach and someone sitting on the hill, you can feel emotion just through, you know, maybe the warm glow of the sun that's sitting there, or the person sitting on the hill, or whatever. And it's yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Definitely agree with that. So, moving on.
That was a very deep discussion.
It was very deep, and yeah. Anyway. So, closing comments and all this other fun stuff. Kat, since you are the official cool person of CodeBox, why don't you go ahead and kind of spell out some of the special projects that we are able to announce today?
Basically, I just want to kind of go over a little bit about the contest that's coming up in April. I want to make sure that everybody knows that Popar Toys and Digital Tech Frontier are responsible for sponsoring this contest. Next week is when we should be kicking it off at www.codeboxmedia.com and also on our Facebook /codeboxmedia.com. Be sure
awesome.
To support your military child.
Definitely, definitely. That's it? I'm not told anything, guys. I'm just, everyone's like, hey, you run the podcast. Cool, let's do it.
Yeah.
And then Kat gives me the show notes with plus commercial plus. That's so helpful. And then it's like closing comments and advertisement, quote unquote, special thanks. Oh, that's really helpful, too. Special
Ooh,
thanks to
wait.
Who?
Before we end this, can I say one last thing?
Yeah, it's closing comments. So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Last week when we talked about Bioshock Infinite,
mm-hmm.
I was right, Basil. I was right. It's in the air. It's on a sky island, floating in the air.
Well, yeah, but I was under the impression that you were thinking it was like air combat or something.
No.
Okay. Cool. And don't ever call me Basil again. Like, how long have you known me?
Yeah.
Like,
hold,
like seriously. Just. I swear, it's everyone that looks
hard.
At my name. No, it's
the
not.
The real way is too hard.
It's Hebrew. It's not supposed to be English. Like, what the hell? Anyway, I mean, like, seriously, anyone who first is like, hey, how's it going, Basil? And I'm like, good, just call me Baz. Or someone, people call me Basil. I'm like, that's not even how Basil is spelled. No, it's not a
Baz,
spice.
Mark my words, I'm going to make everyone in the CodeBox Media call you the way I call you.
Okay, well then.
So they're going to refer him to
Basil?
Oh my god. I love him. Hey, jeez. Another thing I kind of want to talk about a little bit about while we're waiting and doing some closing comments here is we are in the process of sponsoring a Dota 2 weekly tournament that is happening every Monday. There'll be more information as the time goes on. We're trying to work on either getting a tournament website up for you guys via CodeBox Media or something that is just a little bit more easier than what I'm already doing now. It is for anyone to sign up. You can no matter what your skill level is, but you need a team of five people. You need someone that can be a team captain and kind of direct your team into where to go. It's a lot of fun. We've gotten a lot of really interesting feedback, and the prize this week is a Terra closed weekend 5 beta key for the winning team. So, and then that team gets the fight over it. So, you know, we try to have a prize pool each week, and sometimes that doesn't happen because all the staff that are doing it are poor as crap, and we all have bills to pay. So we kind of choose food over tournament prizes. You know, that's kind of a a good thing to choose, I think. I like eating. I'm not sure about you guys.
I think I'm invested in the cause.
Yeah, Kat's like, lame. I don't even shop for clothes anymore. Yeah.
Hey, I told you on Facebook I was gaming naked.
Yeah, I know. I tried to avoid reading that over and over, but yeah. Yeah,
hey.
Triggs, be quiet. There's just don't go there. Don't encourage her. It's something that I've learned. Oh my gosh. But yeah, guys. For now, the URL address is, let me pull it up real quick. I actually forgot to my phone. One moment. Is going to be for now until we either find a suitable tournament website or until we have one ourselves is going to be Dota2Weekly.com. It's pretty easy to sign up. You just go to that page, and the upcoming tournaments are there, as well as the past ones that we've done already. So sign up, guys, and if you have any questions, feel free to email me at baz@codeboxmedia.com. If you wish to get an interview on the show with your indie company or any other gadget tech, awesome audio, if you're a band that you want some advertising or whatnot, we will be more than happy to help you out. Email cat@codeboxmedia.com. If you have an art-related question, or maybe you want to help Shriggs out with some artwork or something, or have an idea or whatnot, go ahead and email Shriggs@codeboxmedia.com. Please follow us on Twitter @codeboxmedia, YouTube, Facebook, and all other good stuff is always /codeboxmedia. I think that's all for now. Again, thank you to Pop Art Toys for allowing us to use them as just kind of a really, really nice way to support our troops, and we really support what they're doing, and as well as God bless all of our troops and just kind of everything they're doing for us. Make sure to give them a hug. That also includes your firemen and policemen. Just give them a hug, give them a handshake. If hugging's too weird for you, just thank them for their service, because it really means a lot to them, and we would not be able to do what we're doing today if it was not for their sacrifice and continued patriotism. So, anyway, guys, that has been us for this week. Tune back next week, where we will have a special guest on that's going to be talking about video game art, which I'm very excited for, and I'm sure Shriggs is probably jumping up and down in his chair right now. So, remember, guys, complaining will get you everywhere. I hate you people.
Kevin is a woman. How is a woman kicking your ass in PvP?
I watch so much porn.
Goodbye, guys. We'll see you next week.